gracefully broken. And when I first heard the song, I thought, you know, about being a broken person in that sense. That there are times in our life that we feel broken, right? Cracked pots, right? We feel like we've been broken or weathered or whatever, but really the emphasis of the song is not so much about being broken by external things. It's really more about breaking open the anointing and the fragrance that's in your alabaster box and pouring out that life and that anointing and that fragrance, so that when we sing, "Here I am, God, my arms wide open, pour me out, pour out my life, gracefully broken." Because he gracefully breaks the seal of that alabaster box. And when he does, there is a fragrance and anointing in your vessel that can fill the room. Hallelujah. To the point when the lady with the alabaster box broke open her ointment, the scripture says, and the fragrance filled the room. To the point that Simon was jealous and angered. If only we could pour out our anointing in atmospheres and cultures where we would get attention of those who are in the room that are indignant, ungrateful, unfocused, to the point that when the fragrance fills the room, Simon said, if he only knew what kind of woman she was that was touching him. It says Simon thought that. And Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. I came into your house. You didn't anoint my feet. You didn't wash my head, my hands, my feet. You didn't do any of the normal customs of the day. You didn't bring honor, but this woman without ceasing has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and to pour out her fragrance on me. Yep. Wherever the gospel is told, this story will be told. How many of that's what the gospel is? Dr. Lynn talked to you last week about what the gospel is, the good news. How many are ready for some good news? Amen. Ann Murray wrote a song about it. Sure could use a little good news today. Remember that? I'm ready for the good news of the gospel. The good news is you are chosen. The good news is you are purchased. The good news is you are valuable. The good news is you are salt. You are light. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't care what anybody else calls you. I don't care what the neighbor says about you. The good news is that's what God says about you. How many know I'll take his say over anybody's? Because he paid a high price for you to have that identity. Amen? So we shouldn't shun that. We should not take that lightly. But he paid a high price for you to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. I want to talk a little bit today about focus. We've talked a little bit about the beginning of the year. It's 2020, 2020 vision, having a new vision, having insight, having focus. I want to talk a little bit about focus today, and I want to talk a little bit about distractions. How many know that sometimes that you can be trying to focus on something and yet distractions will pull you away? And babies don't distract me. I love babies. It's all right. And I don't want to come to church when babies don't cry. Amen. So if it happens, we just move on. If there is no crying, your church is dying. That's just the way it is. Hallelujah. And so, how many know we can be focused, but what happens is a distraction can come and it draws your focus away, right? You can be so all over the place with where your focus is that you fail to zone in on one thing. I'm one of those people that think probably my inside of my brain looks like a whole lot like a ping pong machine, because most of the time my thoughts are just like all over the place. It's an amen. It is, because I'm a multitasker and I don't have the luxury of thinking about one thing at one time. Does that make sense? So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah. However, my husband has have a one-track mind, and he can focus. He is more focused, you know. And, you know, we have this joke, and I'll be trying to tell him a story, and his head looks like it's on a string because the TV's on, and it just starts going like this. His eyes are on me, but his focus is not. You know what I mean? And we're all guilty of that. We're all guilty. How many of you ever said, "I told you that"? And I'm like, "No, you didn't." "Yeah, I did. You just didn't hear me," right? You can be told something and still not hear it. Why? Distractions. Focus. Because your show is on. Let's just be honest, Jason, because the show is on, right? Because there are things that draw our attention away from the moment, right? And so, so what we find then is there's an abstract view. And how many times do we in our life, when we can be focused on God's will and his purpose, but for a roadblock gets in a way and our focus goes off of what God's will and purpose and where we're heading to the roadblock, right? The bump in the road. The extra bill that came in, the diagnosis, the crisis, the car that breaks down, the whatever. And for a moment, we forget, as Sabrina said, about being grateful. You know, Lynn said last week about sometimes we think it's a bad day when one of our three cars break down. When our internet don't work, our phone is malfunctioning, you know. And we have to stop and think, this isn't a bad day. Amen. It might be bad. It might be bad for the moment. And I'm not minimizing the things that happen in our life in crisis. I mean, there's some things that we walk through and it's hard and it's bad and it's a struggle. What our focus is, Lord, I am walking through some things right now. Number one key is walk through. When you're going through hell, don't stop. Walking through. Number two thing is you're not walking alone. You do not have to face crisis. You do not have to face struggles. You do not have to face whatever it is that you face alone. Because he promised, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." And it is in those moments that our focus has to come back to, "Lord, what are you doing in the midst of this? What are you teaching me? What are you showing? What door are you closing? What door are you opening?" So that we're sensitive to watch. How many know there's some things that have, there's some divine terminations. There are some things that God brings to an end, and we still want to hold on to those things and fight for them. And when God is saying, "If you'll just let me close this door, I've got a better door to open for you." And so our focus has to be, "Lord, if this has come to an end, what is the next step? Where are you taking me to from here? How do I tread this water? How do I walk this journey that I'm in right now?" And I really think that the key to that is focus. Focusing on him. Focus on his purpose and his plan in your life. I want to go to John chapter 9 this morning. It's a long chapter. And I don't know if I want to read the whole chapter, but let's just jump in and start somewhere. How about that? John chapter 9 is one of the miracles of Jesus. It is one of the chapters that are in the book that I have out there, the Unblemished series. We did a series in church here back a couple years ago out of Leviticus, where when you was going to go into the priesthood, if you had any kind of a blemish, that you were disqualified from going into the priesthood and disqualified from going into the holy place or the most holy place. And there was a list of disqualifications of all the reasons why you could not go into the presence of God and go into there. And let me know, sometimes we are guilty of preaching all of the reasons why you can't go into God's presence instead of preaching all the reasons why you can. Because probably if we went around the room and we talked about, and I'm talking about it was physical blemishes. So I don't know, for all of you perfect people in the room who have no blemishes, it might not apply to you. I'm looking to see, I don't know, but anyway. But how many know? I'm looking and I don't see anybody. And because most of the time we're our own worst critic. But then there is that exception. Because most of the time we use our mirror on the wall to look for what's wrong with us instead of what's right with us. Yep. Amen? Yes. Now, some of you people walk past the mirror and you're pretty proud of yourself. My dad would say, that's a good-looking man in that mirror right there. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I walked past a mirror in Florida one time. I was just walking past the mirror, and I looked over and glanced, and when I did, I said, oh, my goodness, that's my mom in that mirror. That's not a bad thing. That's my mama right there. That's a compliment to me. Andy walks past the mirror of all of us and say, man, that is my dad right there. So my mom and my dad will never be dead as long as Andy and I are around, probably, but that's okay. And so we see characteristics, we see things in the mirror, but most of the time we get up in the mirror in the morning, correct me if I'm wrong, to look to see if we have bedhead, to look to see how the some people correct to me have no hair. See if you have lint in your beard from the covers or something, maybe. I don't know, Jason. Jason and Monty, they got it going on today. So our focus, most of the time, what, is on negative. And we can have people say compliments to you all day long, but if somebody makes a negative comment to you, you will give more attention to that one negative comment than you will to 100 positive comments. Right? Focus. What do? We take our focus off of what might be true about you to the opinion of somebody who probably shouldn't even count. Because I already told you what your father thinks about you. Right? And so it becomes a matter of focus. But anyway, under that old covenant, under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, there was a list of disqualifications, and one of them is if you were blind, that you could not come into the presence of the holy place or the most holy place. If you know much about the tabernacle of Moses, you could not come into that area because you had a blemish, because you had a sickness, because you had a weakness. But how many know when Jesus comes along into the New Testament, He establishes a new government. He establishes a new covenant, He said, a new commandment I give you. Hallelujah. Not that he did away with the old. He fulfilled that, brought it to completion, and then opened a new covenant, a new will, a new testament of his love. And Jesus, I believe, systematically seeks out everybody who's on that list under the old covenant, and comes back and restores them in his presence. How many know Jesus was not afraid to be touched with a woman with an issue? Because he knew the virtue he had was way more powerful than in any woman's weakness or issues. Hallelujah. And so often we allow issues to keep us from touching him only to realize it's in the touching him that we become refocused and that our healing comes. Jesus wasn't afraid to touch people in the Gentile culture, in the religious culture. I mean, Jesus wasn't anti-Jewish. He wasn't anti-anybody. He said, I come to make of twain one new man, to break down the middle wall of partition, to get rid of those things that separate us, to join us together. There is none righteous, no, not one, in our own flesh. And Lynn quoted it last week, he who knew no sin, what? Became sin, that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. He came to my level so I could get to his level. That's powerful. It's not about what you do. It's about what he did. Hallelujah. And so in this scripture, keeping that in mind, I'm going to read a little bit out of the Message Bible. It says, walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, causing him to be born blind. Everybody say, born blind. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause effect here. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here while the sun shines. When night fails, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there's plenty of light. I am the world's light. He said this and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes and said, go wash at the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. The man went and washed and saw. Soon the town was buzzing. His relatives and those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying, why, isn't this the man we knew who sat here and begged? Others said, it's him, all right. But others objected, it's not the same man at all. It just looks like him. He said, it's me, the very one. They said, how did your eyes get open? A man named Jesus made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. I did what he said. When I washed, I saw. So where is he? I don't know. They marched the man to the Pharisees. This day when Jesus made the paste and healed his blindness was the Sabbath. The Pharisees grilled him again on how he had come to see. He said, he put a clay paste on my eyes and I washed and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, obviously this man can't be from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others countered, how can a bad man do miraculous God-revealing things like this? There was a split in their ranks. They came back at the blind man. You're the expert. He opened your eyes. What do you say about him? He said he's a prophet. The Jews didn't believe it. Didn't believe the man was blind to begin with. So they called the parents of the man, now bright-eyed with sight. They asked him, is this your son? The one you say was born blind, how is it that he now sees? His parents said, we know he's our son, and we know he was born blind. But we don't know how he came to see. Haven't a clue about who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask him? He's a grown man and can speak for himself. His parents were talking this because they were intimidated by the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who took a stand that this was the Messiah would be kicked out of the meeting place. That's why his parents asked him, he's a grown man. They called the man back a second time, the man who'd been blind, and told him, give credit to God. We know this man is an imposter. He replied, I know nothing about that one way or the other, but I know one thing for sure. I was blind, and now I see. They said, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He said, I've told you over and over and you haven't listened. Why Do you want to hear it again? Are you so eager to become his disciples? And with that, they jumped all over him. You might be a disciple of that man, but we're disciples of Moses. I want to stop there for a moment. There are so many places I could jump and go with this. And you've heard me preach some of this before, but I want to talk today about focus. First of all, we see a man who was born blind, right? And says Jesus is walking along the street and they see this man and the disciples say, Rabbi, Master, who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents? And so Jesus said, neither, but that the gifts of God might be revealed. First of all, we have connected a lot of time a people's illness or blindness with their sin. How many of Jesus said, you missed the point. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, if we have to go back to the point where we are going to accuse the fetus of sin before it's born, how many know we're going way back? How could this fetus have sinned, this baby, before he was born, have done anything to cause himself to be born blind? So it must be the blame of somebody else. I mean, we're always looking for reasons why. And we want to label things sometimes and say, well, that's just the judgment of God. Until it comes to your house. And then it's just a freak of nature. Amen? And so we want to pin things. And we blame God for a whole lot of things that God didn't do. Amen? If your roof leaks, it's not because God made it happen. It's because rain came and you got a hole in your roof. Come on. And so we sometimes are looking, well, that's a devil fighting me. No, go put some roof on, fix the hole in the roof, and the devil will leave you. You understand what I'm saying? There's some things where we say, man, the devil's really fighting me today. No, he's not. Look at me. Your devil is defeated. He has no place in my residence. He does not get to knock on my door. He does not get to stay in my house. He does not to live on my roof. Get behind me, Satan. There are some things of choices and things that we can fix to make our day better, and it's not the devil fighting you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sometimes it is choices that we make. That when we fix those choices, we find out that things go a whole lot better. Focus. Focus on what you want. Right? And so they're looking at this man and they say that he is born blind. Jesus simply comes over, and I love this. Jesus spits in the dust, the scripture says, makes a clay, puts it on the man's eyes, and his eyes are open. Now, first of all, I want to talk a little bit about the dust and the spit. Because how many remember that Jesus was with the Father in the beginning, and he said, and man became a living soul when he took of the dust of the earth. The same Jesus who was with the Father in the heavens took of the dust of the earth, and when he breathed, when God breathes, man became a living soul. When the breath of God breathes on you, you come alive. We sang this morning, we come alive in the river. How many know when the breath of God breathes into our dust, our Adam nature, our earthly creature, we are no longer just an earthly creature, but we become the righteousness of God, the infilled dwelling of the Holy Spirit. The breath of God is in you. Yep. Amen. The very breath of the man who touched the clay and the dust in the beginning and brought up man and said, it's not good that man dwells alone. Let's make him a helpmeet. And he took from his side a rib And he made them one, and he created man in the beginning. Don't you think that he can, that same God can touch the dust of your human nature and cause your eyes to be open to those things that you were blinded to? How many in here have ever been blinded to some things before? There are some things I'm beginning to see that I didn't see before because God is starting to open my eyes to some things. I have a pair of glasses called progressive readers. Anybody feel my pain? I try my best to wear those things this week because I do this all the time, right? Glasses on, glasses off. So I tried to wear those progressive readers. Now, if you can do it, bless your heart. You're a better person than I. And Andy says amen. So I'm wearing these progressive readers, and all I get done is... tilting my head to refocus so I can see more clear. And I push them way up on my nose, and I look, and I think, okay, if I stand right here, I can read this, but then I can't read this. And I can't see that step down there, right? And so what I do constantly, I am adjusting so that I can refocus, so that I can see more clearly. Right? You understand what I'm saying? There are some times in my life where I've had progressive reading or progressive understanding of scriptures that when I saw it one way, I thought it meant something. But when then I understand the context and who Jesus is talking to, my eyes start to become opened to something bigger or different than what I've seen before. And it wasn't that I wasn't seeing before. I'm just seeing more clearly now. Right? I'm seeing a bigger picture, an expansion of what I used to know. Because here's what just happened. Jesus spits in the dust and he makes a clay and he puts it on the eyes of the blind man. And if you don't remember anything else I say this morning, I want you to remember this. When the DNA of God touches the dust and the human nature of who you are going to start to see things differently. Do you know if they want DNA, the best way to get it is to get it out of your mouth. And when the DNA of God spits in the very dust that from the beginning he said, I created this man in the beginning, don't you think that I have the power, even if his blindness is due to sin, don't you think I'm bigger than that? Don't you think the man who hung the stars and the man who reached down and created man out of the dust, that I can't once again put the mouth and the DNA of God into the spit and the mud and put it on the eyes of a generation that thinks they are unblemished and cast out and have sinned too much for the goodness of God. I'm here to tell you that the DNA of God touches the eyes of people around you, and people are going to start to be able to see. The greatest blindness is not necessarily physical blindness, it's spiritual blindness. When we become so blind that we think God can only touch one culture or one color or one area, or that we curse somebody because we think, well, that's just the pit of hell over there and that's the judgment of God. But when it comes nigh your house, it's just the devil fighting you. I'm going to tell you, Jesus crossed cultural barriers. He crossed lines, and they come back to him. And see, here's the thing. Before I get there, I want to make this point. He tells him, he said, I want you to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. I want you to wash from head to toe in the pool of Siloam. That seems like a reasonable thing, right? Who told the blind man how to get to the pool? He never said, now, sir, I want you to get down here, take a right-hand turn. When you do, you're going to go 14 steps, take a left-hand turn. There's a pool right there, and I want you to wash in it. Jesus said, go wash in the pool. He said, okay. Where's the pool? What I want to tell you this morning is it might take you getting somebody by the hand. Come here, Becca. That when the DNA of God touches their eyes and they begin to see, you might have to get them by the hand and say, I'll show you where the pool is. If you'll just come with me, right here, baby, this is your moment. This is your spot. That if you will just answer what God spoke, if you'll just be obedient, He wants to open your eyes and He wants to give you vision and focus and make you see. If you don't know how to get there, I know how to get there. I'll show you. I'll take you. I'll walk you to where you need to go. Instead of standing around saying, did you sin? Because that's probably why you can't see. And that sounds funny, but we are still doing it. God will heal you because me and you, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you a dirty, rotten scoundrel, so you ain't getting it. Come on, we can have faith, but we think we... And we pray. We pray this. Lord, they are a saint of God. They have given their life to you. They have worked for you, and they have served you all these years. And all of that is true. But we are not saved or healed on our acts or our works, but we are saved because of what He did at the cross. And because He did at the cross, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Not just Pharisees, not just Sadducees, not just the scribes, but He's going to call this Gentile woman, and He's going to call the woman at the well, and He's going to call the man who's born blind, and He's going to call that woman who anointed the feet of Jesus. Why? Because if I be lifted up, my blood is big enough, my sacrifice is big enough, my cross is big enough to draw all men unto me. I dare say the biggest hindrance of our churches today is our own hindrances, our own view of our perception of who we are. Well, I'm not good enough. I don't glow in the dark like they do. I'm not a church folk. Jesus didn't go to the synagogues a lot of the time because they didn't want to hear what He had to say. And so He says, I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam. You have been sent. How many know there is a response to what God speaks to you? It's not my actions that heals me, but my response of obedience can complete the deal. And I believe sometimes when we don't respond to Him, we delay. Not maybe do away with, but delay sometimes the what God wants to do in our life because we're waiting, waiting, waiting. And He said, I told you go to the pool and wash and be made clean. Amen? But how many know sometimes you got to get a hold of somebody and say, let me walk with you. Let me show you where the pool is. And so He comes again seeing. Try not to jump ahead of myself. He comes again seeing, and He goes to church. Right? He goes to the synagogue, and they said, aren't you the blind man? He said, I was. I mean, don't let anybody call you something that you used to be, because you're not, that's not who you are anymore. No, I'm not the blind man, because now I can see. And they said, by what means are you able to see? He said, honestly, sir, I really don't know. But there was a man, a prophet, and he touched my eyes. And he told me to go wash in the pool, and I came again seeing. All I know is, once I was blind, but now I see. I don't know what methods you got to do to get there. All I know is what He's doing in me. And I know that he doesn't do it the same way every time. Because another time he might just speak the word. Another time he just spit in his eye. Yeah. Another time he might do it differently. See, we want to say if God doesn't do it this way, it's not going to get done. And he's saying, just go to the pool. Just respond. And so they come to the man and they say, well, this can't be. You can't be healed because today's the Sabbath day and we don't do works on the Sabbath day. And quite possibly the man looks back at them and says, sorry, dude, didn't see the calendar. Can't read the calendar. Can't even see the phases of the moon. I don't know what day it is. All I know it is, it's my day. It might be your Sabbath, but today it's my Sabbath. Because I've never experienced a Sabbath like this. I've never experienced a rest like this. I've never experienced an encounter like this until I came in contact with Jesus. All I know is once I was blind, and now I can see. There are still some things that I'm blind to, that I don't see clearly. But God is opening my eyes. They go to his family, to his parents, and they said, is this your son? I said, yes. It is indeed our son. Was he born blind, or is this all an act? No. He was born blind. Then by what means does he see? And they said, sirs, we don't know. All I know, it's my son. He was born blind. And now he sees. But he's an adult. Go ask him. In parentheses, it says, for fear of be putting out of the meeting place. For fear, King James says, of being put out of the synagogue. Common day language is for fear that it would mess up their church membership. Yep. They said, sir, we don't know. You're going to have to ask him. And he said, I don't know, sirs. I think he's a prophet. My best description of him. Fact is, I never saw him till today. I never really looked at his face till today. I never even got to have a glimpse of him. All I've ever had is my ears' perception of who he was. I've heard the noise in the streets. I've heard the crowds going after him. I've heard people in the synagogue mock him. I've heard people say things about him. I've heard a whole lot of things about who this guy is. I don't know, but today, my eyes have seen him. By what means he did this, I don't know. But once I was blind, and now I see. If our culture, our religion, our compassion ever becomes second to our church membership or function, it's time to change churches. And I say that with all sincerity, that sometimes we get so wrapped up on how to do church that we forget that we are the church. And that we forget it's not about all the regulations and the rules and the these and the thous. But it's about encounters. And it's about presence. And it's about people having their eyes opened. And it's about touching a culture that has been excommunicated because they're marked with sin. And Jesus steps in and said, sin ain't no match for me. Sickness ain't no match for me. Death ain't no match for me. And the DNA of God touches our human nature. And all of a sudden, our eyes are open. We can see. We have a different perspective. And all of a sudden, our progressive readers get tilted a little bit. and we catch a glimpse of something that we didn't see there before. And what Jesus goes on to say in this scripture is, the blindness that I am concerned about today is not the young man that I just touched. The blindness I'm concerned about, he says, let me see if I can just back up here a minute and read it. He said, I don't know what verse I'm on, so I'm just going to jump in, Lisa. I apologize for that. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I told you over and over, and you haven't listened. Why do you want to hear it again? Are you so eager to become his disciples? Whoa. No. With that, they jumped all over him. You might be a disciple of that man, but we're disciples of Moses. We know for sure that God spoke to Moses, but we have no idea where this man even comes from. The man replied, this is amazing. You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is he opened my eyes. It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will. That someone opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of, ever. If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. They said, you're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us? Then they threw him out of in the street. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out and went and found him. He asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man said, point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him. Jesus said, you are looking right at him. Today you see me. Today your eyes are open and your focus is on me. You are looking right at him. Do you recognize my voice? Master, I believe, the man said and worshiped him. Then Jesus then said, I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind. Some Pharisees overheard him and says, does that mean that you're calling us blind? Jesus said, if you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure. Our greatest blindness was not the man who was born blind. Our greatest blindness sometimes is the blinders that we put on that keeps us from seeing fully the beauty of who God is. The distractions can be a blindness. How many know religious confusion? Lack, noise, blurred vision, all of those can be distractions to keep us from seeing clearly. And here's what I want to end with, is there are still areas probably in all of our lives where we are blind to the understanding, the opening of the scriptures, to full comprehension or understanding or application of those things. I'm learning more to look at scriptures in context of the culture he's looking at, he's talking to. And I was reading some things last night, and again, I'm trying not to jump tracks because I'm going to probably share some more of this next week, but Jesus was not so concerned about boundaries and cultures. He was concerned about people. And my prayer today is, God, let the DNA, the spittle, the of your mouth anoint my eyes today to see like you see, to see what you see more clearly. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship and of his suffering. But the message says that I might know him, that I might become more intimately and deeply acquainted with him, that I might see him in a greater reality every day, and that I might see more of what he is doing and where he has taken me and what he's calling me to than the distractions that take my view off of what's true and what God is directing me to. See, finances, God can give you a goal, but finances can be a distraction. Well, how am I going to get to that goal? Because I don't have the finances to do it. Don't get distracted. If he put the goal there, if he put the dream there, if it's the will and calling of God, don't get distracted. Keep doing what you know to do till you get to the next step. Amen. Don't get distracted. Keep your focus on what God is saying, what God is showing you, what God is opening your eyes to. Amen. And so that we might see, Jesus said to the man, you're looking at him. Today, you see me. What's a pool even look like? The only way I can have any concept of what the pool was is what somebody else described it to me. But today, I saw it for myself. Amen. Are you ready for God to open your eyes to his view and his vision? The scripture says you have the mind of Christ. We got to start thinking out of that mindset and take our vision to a higher level. Real quickly, when Elijah began to prophesy and say, you guys can go ahead and stand. Beth, go ahead and come. When Elijah began to prophesy and say, it's going to rain. And he said, he bowed himself to the earth. But he said, it's going to rain. And he sent the servant. He said, I want you to go up on the mountain. You remember the scripture. He said, I want you to go up on the mountain. And I want you to come back. And I want you to come back and tell me that you see rain. And the servant come back. He said, there's nothing. I don't see anything. He said, go back again and look for rain. Servant comes back and he said, Master, I don't see any rain. Elijah said, go again and look for rain. When he went that time, he come back and he said, I see something about the size of a man's hand. I see a glimpse of something that might possibly be the beginnings of rain. See, that cloud might have been there the whole time, but he didn't know what he was looking for. It's a cloud, buddy, and rain comes from clouds. Look again, because you just may have missed it the last time, but look again. And when he comes back, he said, Master, I see the cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, prepare your chariot. Get yourself down. Prepare your chariot because I'm about to bring the sound. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. You might only see a glimpse of hope today. But the prophetic voice says, prepare your chariot because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I want you to close your eyes all over this room. And you might be looking to the heavens and say, God, I need you to open the heavens for me today, but I don't see anything. But God, I want you to touch the dust of my humanity with the very DNA of God. And I want you to cause the heavens to be opened. Lord, cause me to see what I didn't see before. Cause me to focus where I didn't focus before. And when I see it, God, help me to make preparation in my journey for the sound of the abundance of rain from the heavens. Hallelujah. Because God, you want to bring rain to our dry and thirsty, parched areas of our life. And so today, God, anoint my eyes. Anoint my eyes. That my focus becomes clear. And that today I see as you see. And not only my eyes, Lord, but let me grab a hold of somebody's hand and say, I know how to get you to the pool. I know how to get you to the pool. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you want special prayer, if you want salvation, if you want us to pray with you, our altars are open as Beth begins to sing. Hallelujah.